If you've ever been in an earthquake, then you know that they're pretty frightening. The ground shifts and sways, and unfamiliar rumbling sounds come from every direction. In our study of Hebrews 12 today on Through the Bible, we learn someday God's voice will shake the earth, and not only the earth, but the heavens too. God has shaken the earth before to make a point, both on Mount Sinai when he gave the law to Moses, and at Calvary when Jesus was dying for the sins of the world. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus as we continue our study of the sixth danger signal in Hebrews, the peril of denying. Our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, will also encourage us about some things that are unshakable. One of those things is living faith in Jesus Christ. He is truly the rock that we rest on, and he cannot be shaken. Before we begin, Greg and I have got a few minutes to give you a quick update on our progress of taking God's whole word to the whole world. So welcome, Greg.
Thanks, Steve. And one of the wonderful things about these brief times we have to share with our listening families, we can pull back the curtain and help people understand more deeply what it means when we say we're taking God's word in over 120 languages and television and different media, because there's so much more that goes on than just the broadcasts.
Yeah, absolutely. A prime example is Kol HaKatab. Those of you that know that name, that's Arabic TV.
That's really
the talk show format that has been so successful and is now being translated into other languages. And, you know, you think about the program itself.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that's great. The ministry's happening. But there's a whole secondary mission of following up and getting in contact with the people that have listened and responded in faith to Christ.
Yeah, and we have just a long, but when we bring you a long letter or story, we really believe it's worth it. So why don't you jump in, Steve, and maybe I can pick up.
First of all, this is from a village in Egypt, Ezbet al-Nasara.
Wow.
Hopefully I said
very
that right.
Very good. Impressed me.
Our ministry partner on the ground there told us this. We went daily there and did a general survey for all the families. We were welcomed into their homes and offered the message of salvation to every single family. We gave them tracts, copies of Holy Bible, illustrated Bibles for children. This town is dominated by ignorance and poverty. Kol HaKatab has had a great impact on the reaching of the Word of God into their hearts. The Lord opened the heart of one of the people called Ibrahim. The Lord opened his insight and start a real life with the Lord.
And let me, before I jump in and continue the letter, say I actually like it when these grammatical things, I mean, if we were doing it in Arabic, they wouldn't even understand it. But this shows you the reality. We get these translations back, and they're not always perfect English, but we fully understand the meaning. Now, this story continues. The Lord opened his insight and started a real life with the Lord. He is a good follower of Kol HaKatab program, and also he is a great blessing to his family and their testimony that he actually changed from a sinner to a person who loves the Lord so much from all his heart, and he asks the Lord to open his insight so he can read the Holy Bible.
Wow.
I mean, Steve, doesn't that send chills down your spine just to think about a transformation that his family talks about? I mean, that's powerful.
Yep.
It says, we gave him the Holy Bible in an audio format. Good news concerning Ibrahim's wife and kids. In the last period, he discovered that his wife started to search on the internet and the Christian channels about Christianity and the Christian faith. And she no longer stops him to take his children to the church. And let me just stop there. We know this is a very common thing, that there's immediate opposition for the practicing of Christianity, of the Christian religion in this part of the world.
Yeah, this testimony continues. About 10 months ago, when he tried to take the kids with him to the church, she refused and sent him to the mosque to get Islamic teaching. Now she does not mind the children going to church with him, and usually she asks him about the secret of joy and happiness after his return from church. He expresses the magnificence and pleasure of the communication with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. Please pray for Ibrahim, his family, and for his ministry.
And Steve, this is why, and I tease you about it, but I love the fact that you are always encouraging people to join our prayer team, our world prayer team. When you pray for this ministry, it's an investment. It is a literal spiritual investment that is reaping fruit in lives like these. And really, this is your prayers at work helping us to take the whole word to the whole world.
Yeah. Greg, why don't you do that? Pray for our listeners and for our study in Hebrews 12.
Father, we constantly marvel at the powerful ways you are reaching into people's lives through the power of the simple teaching of your word. Let us continue to be able to do that. We pray you'd empower us and bless all those who invest in this great ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now I'm coming back to this 12th chapter of Hebrews, and it's such a wonderful chapter, I'm reluctant to leave it, but we're going to have to do that today. Now, having told these Hebrews, you see, he said to them, Jesus is better than anything that God had ever done in the past. And he'd done many wonderful things. Better than the prophets, better than the Old Testament ritual, better than the law. And now he's urged them to turn to him, and that he's a living Savior. But we're in this section of the warning, and he says in verse 25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. And since he is so wonderful, and since his words are very important, it pays you to pay attention to him. It'll be very profitable to you. For he goes on to say, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Now, if you want to see what happened to a people under the law, look at the nation Israel even today. Are they living in peace today? They are not. And their story has been really a sad story, really for 1900 years. And why? Well, they refused to hear him, to hear Jesus. They also had refused to hear the law. And it was because of that that God has judged them. And therefore, it's a pretty serious business not to listen to this warning. Because you remember the Lord Jesus says, if any man willeth to do his will, he shall know. If you'll do his will, you'll find out whether it's true or not, my friend. But if you refuse, how are you going to escape, as he said before, if you neglect so great a salvation? Now, he says, verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And you remember at the giving of the law, there was an earthquake, the mountain rent. At the crucifixion of Christ, there was an earthquake. And God says that the day is coming when he's going to shake everything. When I see these big, tall buildings in downtown Los Angeles, I look at them and I say, I want to get a good look today because you may not be there tomorrow. God says he's going to shake this whole earth and heaven itself. You know why he's going to do that? Let all of his created universe know there are some things that are unshakable. And one of those is a living faith in Jesus Christ. He's the rock that we rest upon, and he cannot be shaken. If you want a secure place today, that's the place to go. That's the air raid shelter today that's safe. They want to make this world, they say today, safe. No man can make this world safe, or no United Nations can make it safe. It's not even safe to walk on the street I live on. I don't know about your street, but I have a notion it's very much the same way. He's going to make it safe someday. And in order to do that, he's going to shake everything. Now, he says, verse 27, and this word, yet once more signifying the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. In other words, we better be very careful where we build our house today, on sinking sand, or are we building it upon the rock, which is Christ? Because God's going to shake everything, and he's going to reveal that which is false and phony, and there's a lot of that. Verse 28, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, you and I are moving toward a heavenly kingdom. And as we move toward a heavenly kingdom, why, we need to recognize that we down here should serve God. But how are we to serve him? Well, we're to serve him acceptably. Yes, but how can we serve him acceptably? With reverence and godly fear. My friend, Christianity is not playing church. It's not assuming a pious attitude. It's a living, vital, real relationship to Jesus Christ that affects your life, that transforms your life and anchors you in the Word of God. Now he says, verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. And you can take that or leave it, but that just happens to be in the Word of God. This is a solemn reminder. It means that grace is available for you to serve God, but don't trifle with God, my friend. Don't think you can play fast and loose with God and get by with it. I remember when I first came here to Pasadena in 1940 as a pastor, I was asked by a lady to go see her husband. And they were a lovely couple, actually, but the husband was sick in bed at home. In fact, never got out of that bed. He died. And I went in and presented the gospel to him, and he heard me courteously. And he said this to me. He said, Dr. McGee, I would like to tell you right now that I accept Christ as my Savior. And I will do that. But he says, I have done it so much. I have trifled and played with God down through the years that I don't even know myself when I'm sincere and when I'm not. My friend, don't trifle with God. The day may come when you won't even know where you stand with Him at all. I tell you, our God is a consuming fire, but He's a gracious, glorious, wonderful Savior. Now, that brings me to the last chapter, chapter 13. I said, you'll recall that chapter 11 is faith chapter. Chapter 12 was the hope chapter. What a hope it offers to you there. We're marching to Zion, but not over yonder in Israel. We're marching to a heavenly Zion. And it ought to be encouragement today to know that, friends, that that's the direction we're going. And so we have in chapter 12, the hope chapter. Now we come to the love chapter. And this brings us to something that I think is quite wonderful. Chapter 10, someone has called it Christian's privileges. Chapter 11, Christian's power. Chapter 12, Christian's progress. And chapter 13, Christian's practice. I don't exactly accept that as being actually a good outline, other than chapter 13. Here we come to the practice of the believer. And he begins by saying, let brotherly love continue. Now, if you have a Bible with good notes, you'll have a note on that. And the note is, brotherly love should be brother love. Brother love. It doesn't mean, friends, that believers are to love like brothers. They are to love because they are brothers. Now, if you're a child of God, you're my brother. I've received recently some letters with all these other letters that I've received, and somebody asked me, I know that you can't read all of them. Friends, when I was at home lying flat on my back, you don't know how wonderful it was to have all those letters to read. And that's what I did. I read every one of them that came to me from all of you folk out there. And somebody said they didn't think I did. But many of those letters came from somebody that in the letter or in the card would say, I'm a black woman or I'm a black man, but I listen to your program and I want you to know that I'm a believer and I love you. And you know, that did something to me. I want to say this to you. What difference does it make about the color of your skin? You're a child of God. He's given you a new heart and He's washed you white as snow. And believe me, I know a lot of white people today that sure need to be washed white as snow. But you're my brother. And you're my sister. And we're in the same family. Maybe you don't want to be in my family, but you're in my family. We love each other. May I say to you, this is something that's real. I have put in my notes a triangle. The Christian life can be put like a triangle. At the top, you can put God. On one side, you can put yourself. On the other, you can put others. And it's faith and love toward God, and it's love toward others. That's the way we manifest it. Let brother love continue. Now, here is stranger love. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers even, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, there have been those we are, I think, acquainted with them in Scripture. You remember Abraham entertained angels unaware? Actually, old Jacob did. He didn't do too much entertaining. He was too busily wrestling that night. And Joshua, you remember, that the angel appeared to Joshua. So that many have entertained angels unaware. We ought to be careful. Our love is to be exercised with judgment. But we need to recognize that there are folk around us that we could be very helpful to them. We could extend our love to them. And my, I tell you, we might meet some very wonderful people like that. And then it says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. Paul, you see, was in bonds himself. He knew a great deal like that. Remember the needy and those in trouble. Show love to those who are in need. You see, the church is a body, and when one member suffers, all of us suffer. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body. And we're all in the body of believers. And I sure had an opportunity to test that myself, and forgive me for referring to it so much, but it's sure given me a marvelous illustration. I didn't know there were so many wonderful Christians around today. One dear lady, and I don't shed tears very easily, but I read her letter and shed tears. She said, Dr. McGee, I'm inactive now, and I'm not able to do anything. I pray to God that I could just be able to come down and take your disease and let you go on. May I say to you, you don't find that in every church today and every group of believers. And I must admit that that's what the writer here is talking about. We need that today. And there's a lot of it around. I thank God for that. Now he says, marriage is honorable in all things. If you think that when he's talking about brother love and sister love, that you're to love the sisters, you're dead wrong. Marriage is honorable in all. And sex is to be exercised in the framework of marriage. God gave marriage to mankind for the welfare of mankind. And any time, and oh, I know I sound like a square, because today this idea of living together without being married is becoming very commonplace among young people. But I'll tell you this, young person, you'll sure pay for it if you attempt to live outside the bonds of marriage, because the home is the very center of the whole social structure. And it's the very center of the church. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Nothing wrong with sex, except today it's being taught too much. And when I was in London not long ago, I found out that they are going to cut down on teaching sex. It has led to more rapes in school than anything else. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid growing up in school, I was pretty ignorant at first. Well, I sure did learn a whole lot in a short time. And I think you don't need all this education today about sex. And also, according to this London report, it is responsible for this epidemic of venereal disease today. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, my friend, you go into reap, and you're not getting by with it. And how many in the church today think they are? Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You cannot escape. He'll judge you. Then he says, let your conversation, which means your manner of life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that wonderful to have him say that to you? And I don't care who you are, what you do. This is the response of faith to the Word of God here. And it brings you to the place that you know that he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that wonderful? I have a notion that I've got friends today that would forsake me. I may have relatives that would forsake me. But, you know, and the Lord Jesus, he's never going to forsake me. It's wonderful to have him on your side, and I hope you have him on your side. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord's my helper, and I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. These Hebrew Christians in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria were really going to face in the next few years punishment, and they were going to face trials. And those that were believers need to remember God wasn't going to forsake them. And they could say, in spite of what happened, God's my helper, and I'll not fear what man will do unto me. Then verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And I can't help but come back and make this statement. Isn't it interesting that we had a few of these radicals that during the war in Vietnam, they were all so interested in the POWs, and they made trips over there, and they led protest rallies. Then the POWs were released. Have you seen any of these folks show any interest in the POWs? You know why? Many of them came back and they said it wasn't a movie star or a former attorney general that helped me. It was Jesus. And many of them turned to Jesus. And it's interesting how the media, the news media, especially television, they turned that off. They didn't like to talk about the POWs. And it's interesting how this country has been made through the news media and all of these radicals. We've about forgotten that there were POWs that were released, friends. Many of them turned to Jesus. And may I say to you, what happened? He never forsook them. He stayed with them. And he's the one that will see you through. I don't think the radicals are going to help you much. I don't think any of these political parties are going to help you much. I don't think any of these politicians, I am tired listening to them. And I guess I'm as tired listening to them as they are listening to me. But I'm tired of listening to them. May I say to you, I want to listen to Jesus. He says he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Now will you notice here, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, I'm not going to deal with that today because I want to close by reading the next verse, and I'm going to talk about that next time. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the only thing I want to say right now is just the word, Jesus Christ. And I want to say this to you, that there's no accident in the Word of God. That is, no words ever used carelessly. Now, Jesus was his human name. Christ is his title. That speaks of his deity. And, oh, how wonderful this is. This speaks the name Jesus. That links him, if you please, with humanity. That links him with mankind down here. That links him with the most wonderful person in the world. And what you have here is a name and a title. Jesus, name of sweetness. Jesus, sound of love. Cheering exiles onward to their rest above. Jesus, oh, the magic of the soft love sound. How it thrills and trembles to creation's bound. Now, Jesus, do you know how wonderful he was as a person when he was down here? I'm just now talking about his humanity. You know, people crowded around him. He was human. He was so human. Actually, the mobs followed him. They loved him. It was the teaching of Jesus they hated. It was not Jesus, the man. He was wonderful, friends. We're going to talk about him next time. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
That's a great promise. Now, be sure to join us next time as we talk about Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. As we take a quick break from our daily study for the weekend, I sure hope that you'll join me for more great teaching by Dr. McGee on the Sunday sermon. This week, his titled message is, Where is Christ Now and What is He Doing? If you want to join us online or see if your station carries the Sunday sermon, please visit us at ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. When we began these studies in Hebrews, we heard Dr. McGee say that his one ambition was to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to get out his word. He said, I cannot think of anything better to do. To learn more about how you can get the word out with us in your neighborhood and in more than 120 languages around the world, visit ttb.org/give or just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I hope that you have a great weekend. See you again next week when the Bible Bus comes back round your corner.
Jesus made it all to be my own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world. And we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's word go today?